Hello, everyone, and welcome to Written Voices. I'm Alan Hunken, your host. Let your goddess grow. What a great, deep feeling those words evoke. Seven spiritual lessons on female power and positive thinking. Our guest today, Charlene Proctor. She is a doctor. She's a doctor of philosophy, degree from the University of Michigan. She's the founder of the Goddess Network, an organization for women who want to discover the feminine principle within. Her lectures and workshops and electronic programs reach a worldwide audience. Welcome, Charlene Proctor, to Written Voices.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the program. Let Your Goddess Grow, the book. Is this the second book, or there was one about affirmations? Were they written both at the same time?
No, Let Your Goddess Grow I wrote first. The Woman's Book of Empowerment came as a reaction for people calling and writing to me and saying, hey, we need a little bit more practice in these spiritual lessons, and what can you give us that would provide us just a little extra energy and push in the right direction? So that is a companion book to Let Your Goddess Grow.
So how did you get the idea for Let Your Goddess Grow?
Well, like any writer, material for a book comes from a deep place. And I grew up in a very negative environment. My parents were depression people in the sense where they survived the depression. And the philosophy that I grew up with revolved around believing that we could not be in control of our own lives, that our success and happiness and whether that's applied to relationships or career, always came from something that we could not control, and it wasn't within you, it was something that happened to you. In addition to that, we had in our family a very patriarchal male structure where female did not matter. And I suppose as I matured and grew over the years in my life and work, and you mentioned my work at the University of Michigan, I was a social scientist. My work there was to be a conceptual designer. I did work for organizations, and all I did really was make very, very complex ideas understandable to people, whether they were for businesses or for research or so forth. And as I went on my work path, I realized that without some sense of internal power to shift my thinking from this negative standpoint into one of positive enrichment and one of being able to believe that I could manifest the things in my life that I wanted, I wasn't going to feel good. I wouldn't feel empowered as a woman, as a business person. So these lessons in Let Your Goddess Grow are meant to teach people how to create a positive and powerful life. And what it does is it teaches you how to recognize these negative thought patterns that you've had in your purview for a long time and to really develop the self-discipline and wisdom that you need to consciously stay in the present moment, not living in the past, but to shed those old ideas that hold us behind. And a part of that philosophy and practice is to write affirmations, and in the book I teach people how to do that. And the book really, for women especially, leads them to this concept of the goddess or the divine feminine as a source of enrichment and personal power. So it's kind of my philosophy and thinking that I've had over the years to feel good about my work and to do the things that I do. And I'm very excited that other people are finding it useful and helpful in their own lives.
What does our culture say about the divine feminine? Why aren't women raised more with these ideas?
Well, the culture that we live in is still very male dominated. And I hate to say that, but it's true. We have an amazing, wonderful opportunity in our society to achieve the things that we want in the workplace and so forth. But what's wrong still is that we are unbalanced women. And part of that is that there's a lot of old cultural messages out there, old world family ideology, such as what I grew up with, or old religious dogma that really convinces women that they are still bad or blemished or saint. And for some reason, I think as a culture, we still are having trouble breaking out of some of these old self-defeating thoughts. And women haven't really internalize the idea that they are truly divine. And why is that? It's because we don't see ourselves in an image of the divine. We really don't believe that we are. And if we are going to consciously create our world and our personal environment that we live in to achieve the things that we want, we have to understand that we need to accept that within ourselves. That's truly what it means to step into a vision of yourself. It's that exchange that we have with this idea that we have our spirit power within us. And religion, and it does a lot of really great things for people, giving us a sense of community and places to pray. But I think what women are doing now is that they are looking for ways to kind of break out of that and to find new ways to define themselves as images in the divine. So I think that's why today this whole goddess imagery and the symbols and the metaphor is becoming very, very empowering to women, because when they can relate to these abstract images of spirit that contain both ideas, both the father or the spirit or the intellectual portion of God and the emotion or the mother or the abstract idea that this life that we're living is a sacred experience because it is physical. I think that when we fuse the two ideas together, we can learn as women to see ourselves more loving and to see life in general for a more loving perspective. And it's very self-validating. That's what I've found in my own research. So I think that's why women are embracing the idea of the sacred feminine.
Was there a moment for you when this kind of all came together in terms of your thinking and where this became really deeply integrated into you?
I mentioned earlier about growing up in this negative, self-defeating environment and having to be forced to understand how to create, consciously create a thought process and to rebuild this positive and powerful mindset. But I know that sometimes in our lives things happen. And I remember quite a few years ago, are you a fisherman, by the way?
Well, I live on the west coast. The salmon jump out of the water here. Are you kidding? You've got to hide behind a tree to stop them from dragging into the water.
Well, it's the one thing I do that I really love to do. And sometimes moments in our lives become apparent in our lives even though we don't always see them. And about several years ago, I like to fish off of Southwest Florida. And I've lived in a family of sportsmen ever since I was married for over 20 years. And I could never understand this whole idea of the hunter and the warrior spirit and all these rituals for hunting and fishing. And especially my father-in-law's passion for it, because he was a great hunter and fisherman. Years went by and I never caught any fish. And so one day I went out with my husband and I decided to go out one last time. And that day was the day that I caught a 170-pound tarpon. And I think that, especially for people who have been in this experience before, to spend an hour and 15 minutes to struggle to reel this fish in, I realized during this process that I never really did catch that fish. What I did is I surrendered to her magnificence. And it was a very worshipful spirit experience, and that was a spiritual experience to me. And when I released her, I called my father-in-law, Woody, and I told him, I get it. I really get it now, and I understand what you were trying to teach us all these years. Life is about surrendering to this exchange, to this physical process that's right in front of us. And this experience for me was so jubilant, and it made me so giddy because there was an enormous simplicity about how we are such a part of nature. and it made a very big impression on me. Well, the next day, he died unexpectedly, and there's nothing that gets your attention more than to be in abundant state 1 minute and loss the next. And it made me realize that life is about the cyclical exchange, and that fish was really a metaphor for Mother God. It got my attention that day because she is so much about nature and multiplicity and the cycle of life. And to make a long story short, after that experience, I realized that the last book that he had ever read was by Sylvia Brown, and I had never read any books by Sylvia Brown before. But this one was about life on the other side and how she alluded to this Gnostic point of view about Mother and Father God. And it was the only book that everyone in the family said that we'd seen him finish. And he was quite taken with it. So his death initially directed me to this idea, which began to shape more a complete view about Mother and Father God. And it really struck a chord with me that we can have both. And it gave me a better understanding about what we're here to do in our lifetime. Because in life, it's about how we connect our experiences and find meaning in our life, and it's always a path that leads you to greater understanding. So I realized at that moment, which was really a pivotal moment in my life, that nobody really gives you a prescription or some ready-made list that says, here, follow this plan. We have to discover our path. It's an individual path, and it takes a lot of work and effort and insight and to pay attention to the details, and that's how we find our higher path in life. To me, that's how we're directed to release our gifts into the world. And it's up to us to examine our experiences and reflect upon them and take a plunge. And I plunged into Mother God. That was the day I think I did it.
So let's go through the book a little bit and kind of just walk us through kind of chapter by chapter what people will experience when they read this book.
The seven spiritual lessons. Women have three fundamental problems with thinking positive and feeling empowered. And the first is that they have a difficult time letting go of the past. We rehash too much, and it holds us back for more opportunities for growth. The other thing I mentioned, which is old cultural messages, I think hold back. And the third problem I think women have is that they don't accept the notion that they are divine individuals. And those, I think, are the barriers for women and men as well, actually, to leading an empowered life. So I wrote the seven lessons that first address how to release your past and live in the present. And that's what the chapter on insight is. The lessons range from insight, where we really analyze where some of our negative programming would come from, and to understand how to put our daily routines and our thought process into more of a balanced state. And I teach people how to become more thankful, and there's exercises and so forth throughout the book that deal with understanding death and divorce and how we become more resilient, and kind of building on this idea that once we deal with all of those things, we're moving into more of a state of thought where we can understand what the authentic self is, and what different world religions say about how we define spirit and how we relate to that. So I talk about that, and of course everyone in thinking positive in their lives always has questions about money. So I do address the ideas about abundance and how we really let go of mental blocks that prevent us from achieving an abundant life. And also sprinkle a little insight on our organizational life and why having a more balanced self-image does help us bring balance to our organizations and to our work environment. And then, of course, there are lessons on the Divine Mother and who she is and what that means, and how beneficial it would be to read outside of your own purview, so to speak, to maybe think about bringing some of those concepts into your thought process.
Let's just take a moment to talk about the Goddess Network. First of all, let's point people to that website. It's
www.thegoddessnetwork.net.
And tell us a bit about the Goddess Network and also what people would see and experience on the website.
Okay. We teach men and women who want to learn more about personal growth and the concept of the divine feminine. We teach them, give them a place to connect with each other, which is what our website does very well. But we're also a live venue, and our offices are in Michigan. So the website is really an extension of what we do live. What we like to do is to be sort of a hub for this idea and to have people learn more about what the concept of sacred feminine is. And there's many, many programs that they can visit on our website. And there's chat rooms and places where you can send each other positive thoughts in the form of soul cards. It's a very robust website, and we have a lot of people that visit Goddess Network down in Birmingham, Michigan, teach classes about empowerment or yoga, anything about the spiritual community. And really, we're trying to get people to learn a little bit more about their intuitive side. Our material on the website is always changing, but I would encourage everybody to take a look and to write to us if there's anything that's particularly noteworthy. We can post it or talk about it or write about it. We feel really good about putting people in touch with each other that want to learn more about this idea.
Well, I was on the website this morning doing research for this interview, and I certainly found lots of depth and lots of content there for people to learn and understand. Our guest today, Charlene Proctor, author of Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. Charlene, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is Alan Henkin for Written Voices. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.